The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
We are back with a post-Halloween Answer of the Week.
Though, thanks to the magic of time travel,
yes,
we are recording this pre-Halloween.
Wow. This blew my mind.
Whoa.
Whoa. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. Sitting across from me is the other head of the show. His name's Joe Patrick.
Yeah, that's me.
That's you. Mm-hmm. Joe Patrick has one goddamn job, and his job is to ask you the question of the week. Here's how it works. On the regular show, we post a question. Sometimes it's suggested by you guys. You can go to the forums under Question of the Week and suggest questions. You can call us and suggest questions. Whatever. It says an email. Suggest questions. But you go to the forums. You will find the question there. You can answer as long as you want with links and pictures and music. Whatever you want to do, post up there is fine. Or you can call us at 402-819-4894. Or send us an email to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. with your MP3 answer, but you have to make sure it stays south of 2 minutes. We got to share the air. We got a lot of calls today because it is a super fun question. Joe Patrick, reset this sucker for me.
This week's question comes from Jim Kettner, aka Kettnerd, on the forums, also Kettnerd.com, also many fine podcasts and artistic endeavors. Check it out. His question is, in honor of the Alec Baldwin AI, what is our favorite robotic / AI / whatever?
Comic book living computer.
Computer, yes.
All right.
Characters in comics.
I love it.
Now, there was some question on the forums. Hey, do cyborgs count?
No, I said
no. No cyborgs.
No cyborgs.
Strictly artificial.
Yes. What about Warlock? Would he count?
He's techno-organic. He's artificial. Like,
but he's also organic.
But he is.
Would he count?
I think he counts.
Okay.
I think he counts because he is.
Yeah.
He's not a carbon based. Like, right. He's not.
The Borg would not count.
He's not half man, half. Right. Right.
Right. The Borg.
He is. He is a natural artificial intelligence, for lack of a better way to describe
all right,
it.
Fair enough.
I would say Warlock. Yes.
Yeah.
Because he's all computerist.
I agree. Before we get into it, let's introduce the cocktail of the week. You can go to our Tumblr and find the actual recipe for this sucker. We're calling it an Energon Fizz. When I was a kid, I used to watch the Transformers drink Energon, and it looked delicious. And sometimes they would drink a little too much Energon and get drunk.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Energon Fizz is basically vodka, soda, a little bit of blue curacao, and a little bit of grenadine for a bright purple drink. In honor of our favorite robots.
All right.
The Transformers. Tell us. That one purple ass drink.
It sure is.
Damn, dude.
Grenadine at the end is weird.
Yeah, it's sweet.
That's the message that just popped up on the iPad.
Let's get right into it. Our good friend Jeff Head. First one to hit us this week. Right on time. Normally he's a late guy.
Not this time.
Guess not.
Hey guys, I was calling in for the question of the week, specifically on our favorite artificial intelligence / computer brain / robot thingy in comics. And, you know, my answer is hopefully, I think other people love it as much as I do, but it has to be 000 from the Darth Vader series. It just ended issue 25. There's just something about an evil C-3PO who likes to hurt people and things that I found so funny and refreshing and disturbing. Every time he was allowed to, the conversation, the one-sided conversation you would get when you had the R2 analog and he'd be talking about whatever horrible thing he was wanting to do and everything like that, it made me laugh and gave me the chills, and it was wonderful. So that's my answer, 000 from the Darth Vader series. There you go.
I believe that was my best new character. He got my best new character, Beppo, last year.
Yeah, I love 000.
Oh, he's so great. He's like polite, sweet, psychotic, C-3PO.
Right, yeah.
It's so great.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, that was a great answer. Jeff, thank you for your call. Always good to hear from you. Fantastic first answer. Way to start us off, buddy. Next up, Patrick Kavanaugh, our good buddy. He has no nickname.
I'm a little worried about what this is supposed to be. It's he says, I put something together real special for you.
Hey, Little John coming at you. Yeah. Long time listener of the show.
The worst Little John impersonation I've ever heard.
When I picked out this question, I was like, what? I need to answer that. Yay. My favorite robot character. You know it. I spit a whole rhyme about him. That's right. It's Skeets. The ultimate wingman to my boy Booster, keeping his head straight and out of the shit. So that's it. Okay.
He cut himself off. I didn't do that. I don't know if that's racist or not.
I mean, I don't think it's racist.
No,
but
I mean, it was
definitely terrible.
It was a bad impersonation. But he was doing it for the joke.
Look, man, we'll let him. He brought the rope. Let him hang himself.
Well, he brought it full circle and got his Skeets answer in there. And that's a great answer.
Yes.
And it was all to do a skeet joke.
Yeah. You know what? Kudos for committing to the bit. Absolutely. 100%.
I can't remember who it was. The black comedian. There was like, if y'all knew what skeet meant, you would not be playing that on the radio. He's like, God bless you, white people. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. John. I was a big fan of your work on the Chappelle Show.
Wow.
Look at this guy, the Warbringer.
Hey, the Warbringer's back. We haven't heard this. Oh, he's got a joke for us. Just for you, Joe, because he knows I don't like his jokes. Joke time. What does sex in a canoe and Coors Light have in common?
I don't know what.
They're both close to water. Hey-o!
What's up, nerds? It's me, Talon the Warbringer, calling back after a long hiatus because, happens. But anyway, my answer is going to be Brother I. He's far more interesting than Ultron. The brainchild of Bruce Wayne. It's such a crazy thing to have. I mean, that can has and will probably in the future, because this is comic books and rehashes are a thing, completely take out all superheroes in the DC universe. I mean, that's what Future's End was about, even though Future's End kind of sucked. It could have been better. But no, Brother I is just this crazy tool / villain / AI / robot / godlike thing that just basically flows around the DC universe and is so powerful writers can't use him to his full potential because it would just be the end. Brother I is basically like Superman. You can't write him to his full potential because then everything is dead and then the whole entire universe is over. So, but anyway, that
sounds
was my
like
answer.
A great
also,
pick.
Matt, stop inviting me to come work for you via email. I already have a job. Thank you, but I will eat some free meatballs. All right. Thanks. See you guys later.
Oh, there is another Talon that worked for me, and I was just throwing everybody into my work email with the schedule, and I kept sending Talon Gallegos, and he's like, I don't think this is for me. Sorry about that, buddy. Got it figured out. Fired the other Talon, so it's not a problem.
Hey!
Hey-o! No, I love that kid. He's a good kid. Both of them are good people. Brother I totally agree. A character that was made way too powerful from the beginning. So yeah. They just had to be like, yeah, it doesn't feel like ending the world.
Yeah. And Brother I was originally created by Jack Kirby in the pages of OMAC in the 70s.
Okay.
He is the satellite that kind of guides OMAC on his adventures and also is responsible for beaming down the power, you know, the juice.
Right.
That turns Buddy Blank or Buddy. Yeah, Buddy Blank into OMAC.
Is it Buddy Blank?
Buddy Baker is somebody different.
Yeah, Buddy Baker is Animal Man.
Yeah, it's Buddy Blank.
I'm gonna make sure. You keep going. I'll fact check.
And yeah, so like when He-Man raises his sword into the sky and says, by the power of Grayskull.
I thought Orr McWilliams was
OMAC. When He-Man raises his sword into the sky and says, by the power of Grayskull, I have the power. The power that turns Prince Adam into He-Man comes from somewhere. When OMAC says, hey, I want to be OMAC. Brother I shoots down the power in a very similar fashion, turning Buddy Blank into OMAC. In the 2000s,
Buddy Blank.
It was retconned that he was a creation of Batman, created to keep track of the rampant superhuman activity on Earth.
He's Batman Cerebro.
Right. And the satellite was stolen from him by Maxwell Lord and, of course, used for very terrible things.
Whoops.
They did eventually tie that into a new version of Womack, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brother Eye.
Part of the series of Batman is a total shithead stories right, coming out at the time.
So Brother Eye is a cool idea. Is a cool idea that I think that has gotten way far away from its original premise.
Yeah. Everybody that got a hold of Brother Eye did something different with it. Now we have no idea.
What and now it's like, is. And now Brother Eye wants to take over the Earth by turning everybody into weird techno organic zombie monsters.
Why not?
Which is super practical.
Why
if you
he?
Are a flying robot in space.
Sure. Why not?
Why do you even give a about what happens on Earth? Anyways.
Thanks for your call to Alan. Good to hear from you, buddy. Warbringer. Oh, nice. D requested some fun music.
I don't know if he means, like, does he mean, like, the video game theme or the cartoon theme?
I think he means the cartoon theme, because cartoon was out in the 90s. I mean, there were definitely Mega Man games out in there, but, like, the first Mega Man games were 80s. So I'm not really sure. I'm going to go with cartoon theme.
Oh, why don't I reply and ask him?
Okay, you reply and ask him. I'm going to play his damn call.
How's it going, dudes? This is D here answering your question of the week. And I just made an MP3 and I told myself, dude, you should just say Robot Man. And like, he's in the Doom Patrol. Doom Patrol has a new comic book out. It's pretty killer for one issue. And then I said no, because then the Mega Man theme song came in my head. And like, oh my gosh, Mega Man. Dude, he's so freaking cool. Rockman, if you guys didn't know, that's his real name, is Rockman. Super cool, blue costume, pretty much like a robotic Link. I love that dude, he's so awesome. Or a robotic Mario. Ha, yeah. Anyways, that's my answer. Super fighting robot, Mega Man. That's my answer. Take it easy, guys.
Stony D. I love Mega Man.
I love Mega Man,
too. Mega Man.
And Mega Man comics, pretty fun.
Yeah.
They're not bad. And they've been coming out forever.
They have been since the 90s.
Crazy.
God, yeah, man, I love those games. I love them so much.
Oh, they're fantastic games. You kidding me? Mm. Hard as hell, too.
Like, they are.
You got to clock in some time.
Yep. You know, like, the saying is it takes 10,000 hours before you become an expert in any one thing.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't think after 10,000 hours you will have mastered Mega Man.
No, absolutely not. Let's find out what the Orca's favorite robot is. I'm going to guess it's something steam-powered, right? Got to be old-timey.
He says it's not great, but it. We're just having fun
Good
here,
evening.
Right?
Orca here. Let me just say, you're not going to believe the answer I have for you if I'm elected. Very, very cool. My answer, he's in the big leagues. Do you understand what I'm saying? Joe and Matt have been doing this for 30 years. What answers do they have for you, huh? Machine Man? Wrong. Rosie from the Jetsons? Wouldn't be my first choice. Tachikomas? Mega Man? Astro Boy? We are shipping in all our robots from China. Once I'm elected, that will stop. I assure you. My answer is going to be so great. So, so great. Ready? Yeah. Awesome Andy. Let's make America great again. Kiss, kiss, pussies.
Yes.
Awesome Andy.
That was so good. That was a pretty good impression, actually.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
So Awesome Andy was originally created by Jack Kirby in the 60s as the Mad Thinker's awesome android, and he was this giant gray,
yes,
kind of malleable. I think he was malleable, like he could change shape and stuff, maybe. Anyway, he was a giant green robot.
He had like a clay head,
with like a square block,
yeah,
head.
He worked in She-Hulk's office as a file clerk.
Much later, Dan Slott had him as an intern or a file clerk or whatever.
Yeah.
At the law office where She-Hulk worked.
He was a clerk.
And his name, he went by Awesome Andy, and he couldn't talk, so he wrote everything down on a chalkboard that he wore around his neck.
Yeah.
So great. I love Awesome Andy. That's a good answer.
Yeah, it's a great answer. Let's go back to Google voicemail. I think this is Crawdad Cody. I can't really tell.
It's Air Credit Cody. According to
the transcript. Cody. Air Credit Cody. Real fast. Favorite robot is the Vision. Tom King's run has solidified him as one of my favorite characters of all time. I'm already working on a tattoo to get done because Vision and Flannel is badass. If you haven't read The Vision by Tom King, it's probably one of the best series out all year. Definitely give it a read. Bonus answer, my least favorite robot is these trolls on Twitter who push Chelsea Kane on Twitter because comics are just for men.
That's probably about all we need to say about that, because that's accurate.
They're not robots. Let's give robots some credit, okay?
Right, yeah, right.
There's hardworking Twitter bots out there that respond every time you use the word porn or certain lines from certain movies.
Quote a movie, right?
Yeah. Okay, those guys work very hard.
That took effort.
Vision.
Yeah, the Vision, of course.
Via Tom King, specifically, is the one that got him.
Yeah.
Vision's a great answer.
I have nothing to add at this time.
I know where we're going there. All right. Wow. Jeez. Foreshadowing. Ugh.
Thank you, Cody. Once again, always a pleasure to hear from you.
And I'll give you your second answer because you were so quick.
Well, the second answer was sort of a joke.
Yeah. But you got two in there fast. I'm all right with that. Here we go. Little screeching weasel in the background here. Jim Kettner's call.
Hey, Joe and Matt. Kettner here. Thanks for choosing my question. I'll try my best to keep my answer short and to not drop like half a dozen F-bombs.
Appreciate that.
I'm going with a kind of deep cut. He's a character called Steel Gauntlet from Alan Moore and Gene Ha's top 10 prequel, The 49ers.
Oh.
I know he doesn't have the pedigree of your Brainiacs, Ultrons, or Visions, but I'm really choosing him more for one powerful moment in a story rather than lasting impact. In The 49ers, we see a post-World War II take on top 10 in which prejudice against artificial life is the norm. And the plot deals heavily with lead characters who are hiding really personal secrets from their coworkers. And Steel Gauntlet is sort of a background character who offers a great counterpoint to that narrative. He's positioned early in the story as one of the first police officers in top 10, who's this tragically deformed scientist who's trapped in his suit of armor. He's this guy that everyone knows and is well-liked and respected by his colleagues. But later it's revealed that he's a robot. Yeah, he's been hiding this whole time and passing as a person. He's this like dramatic leap forward in artificial intelligence. And the panel in which it's revealed that he's not a guy trapped in a suit of armor, that he's just a robot who has these creepy, fake, realistic human eyes like grafted on the front of his head is just stuck in my brain. And I just think it's so great. I think just the notion of a robot trying to pass as a person and knowing that his friends would hate and fear him if they knew his real self is so heartbreaking and obviously carries tons of meanings both in real life and for the other lead characters in the 49ers. It was such a great moment that, you know, I finally believed that an android could cry. Anyways, guys, that's it for me. Be sure to check out my podcast, Galacticus, and Adult Crash, if we ever get back to it. And you can find my comics and illustrations at kettner.com.
That was a fantastic story.
I haven't read the 49ers in years.
It was so good. And I loved the whole, like, everyone's totally racist against robots.
Yeah.
It was so cool. Great answer, Kettner. I like it. And with almost zero cuss words. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. Let's go to our mystery husband. He loves robots, but not as much as he loves us.
Right.
Hey, honey, it's me. Just calling you about robots. I've been having a hard time with this, and I can't get past this one, even though I don't feel it's the best robot.
He got cut off.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's like the second time this happened to him. Something going on with their Google voice?
Well, not that I know of, because nobody else gets cut off.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. He totally got cut off, though. Well, that sucks. I guess we have to go to...
He's cut off in a way that, like, he doesn't know he's been cut off, because he'd have called back, right?
I guess. Yeah, I think he would have called back. I don't know. That sucks.
Mystery husband, I'm so sorry.
You got cut off.
I guess your favorite robot is the Google voice mail system.
I suppose.
Because... they're controlling you like a puppet. We love you.
Jeffrey Ketchumall, he sent us a picture of his answer too. Take it away, Mr. Catchemall.
Greetings, nerds. It's your repentant pokey trainer, JD Gotta Catchemall, emailing in for the answer of the week. My favorite robot slash android slash AI character is Pint Size from Jeff Jax's webcomic Questionable Content. I've been reading QC daily for over a decade now. Jax's masterful mix of slice of life with just a smattering of sci-fi in the form of AI bots living amongst his characters often tackles some heavy subject matter. That headiness is often tempered with Pint Size's shenanigans and sophomoric humor. If you haven't checked it out, you should. It's been a joy to watch the creator grow as an artist and a storyteller over all these years. Cheers, nerds.
Catchemall picks Pint Size. I don't know this character.
It's a webcomic.
Okay.
Yeah, Questionable Content. I've heard of Questionable Content, but I don't read it.
I don't read it either. I'm sure it's very funny.
I'll check it out.
Catchemall's a funny guy.
I used to be heavy duty into webcomics, and then I just kind of...
There's so many of them. It's overwhelming.
Even the ones that I followed regularly, I just don't keep up with anymore.
It is overwhelming.
Yeah.
I will say that. Let's go to Mr. Jesse Kiefer.
Hey, Joe and Matt, it's Kiefer from GrolixPodcast.com. I just wanted to chime in with my favorite AI of this week.
And the nuclear powers have just denied rumors that the world's waters are being polluted by
Max Headroom.
Nuclear waste.
Did you guys hear that? That was weird. Well, anyways, my favorite AI comes from the future.
There's more. Because you are going to see it as well.
And he tends to help out by...
What I want to know is, why are the only funny lines on this show the ones behind me?
And even manages to save the day on his own once in a while.
Only the other day I heard someone say, he's nothing but a robot, covered in makeup, talks a lot of nonsense. What a way to talk about the president of America.
So that's why Skeets is my favorite AI.
Wait a minute.
No, wait. Oh, man, I just thought of one. Okay, guys, I got to change my answer. Okay, switch my answer to Max Headroom.
Okay.
Max. Man, how could I forget about Max Headroom? That's weird. Well, that's my answer, gents. Have a great week.
I loved Max Headroom. Max Headroom was like a product of basically a Pepsi commercial back in the day that was giving his own TV show in the 80s because it was so popular. And they made it in this weird, like sci-fi dystopic, like propagandist, well, anti-propagandist,
right,
like AI. And the show is great, super heady and bizarre. Oh, man. It was all about like InfoWars and the future and stuff. I loved Max Headroom. It was Matt Feuer played your Max Headroom.
Yeah. Also, the angry dad on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Okay.
So there you have it.
There you go. Hey, TD Dubs hits us. We haven't heard from this guy for a while. About damn time, Dubs. Jesus.
Hey, Joe and Matt. It's the TD Dubs calling in for the question of the week. First of all, I just wanted to thank everyone out there in the THN universe for supporting my Day 165 comic, which was successfully funded at Kickstarter. It's a supernatural war story, so thank you very much for all your help. Hey, there was a good question this week. Your favorite robot in comics. Joe set down some pretty good rules. I was going to say Deathlok at first, but no. That's not allowed.
Not allowed.
I went with Machine Man, and I got to tell you, it was a great creation by Jack Kirby for that 2001 Space Odyssey comic book he did back in the day. But I really liked the version they did. I think it was probably 84, 85, where he kind of had sort of a Inspector Gadget kind of thing going on with all the arms and legs, and it was pretty cool how he was trying to fight the man because he's this robot on the run from the army. And from there, I think the whole Machine Man character kind of got a bad deal. He just never really got a great series that really allowed for a cool story. So that's my selection. Hope you guys are doing well.
Next wave.
And maybe I'll call you again in another year. Who knows? Talk to you later. Bye.
Have you met my friend Next Wave?
Love Machine Man.
Yes. I mean, it's true that Machine Man hasn't had his own his own series since the 90s where they did that imprint at Marvel that was like tech-based comics.
Yeah.
And so there was a Warlock comic and a Deathlok comic and then a comic called X-51 that was ostensibly Machine Man because Machine Man is Model X-51. Right. Those books are not good.
No.
The Deathlok comic is pretty decent from what I remember.
That was cool.
Leonardo Manco.
I remember liking that.
And Joe Casey.
It didn't last very long.
None of them lasted long. No. Yeah.
Flash in the pan. But Machine Man, fantastic.
Congrats on the Kickstarter, TD.
Yeah, that's great, man. Good for you.
Can't wait to read it.
Tim Benson has a quizzical title for his MP3 that he sent us. And he likes to buck the system sometimes. So let's see what we got here.
Hey, John, Matt, I'm calling in for Favorite Robot.
Okay.
Mine's going to be R. Daniil Olivaw from Isaac Asimov. So I don't care. It's an honor comic. It's my favorite robot. Thanks.
I believe that is the robot from iRobot.
Okay.
I believe so. I'm not positive, but I believe so. That was quick.
Well, we'll never know.
To the point. And he doesn't care that it's not in comics. That's fine.
You know what? Jesse Kiefer's answer was not from a comic either.
No.
So I think at this point we don't really care.
It's our final call. We blew through these.
No, we have one more.
No, is this next one our final call?
Oh, the next one. Yeah, final call.
That's what I'm saying. Is this our final call?
I don't know who it is, though.
Present tense.
Is it Nate Aguilar?
I don't know. Let's find out. It's a 402, so it's somebody we know.
Hey guys, sorry I'm late, but hopefully I still get into the show. Had some stuff blow up at work, so I'll make my answer quick. My answer comes with the caveat that I have not read any of the new Vision comics, which I've heard they are phenomenal, so that might change my answer if I go back and read it. But my answer I'm going to go with is Ultron. Was always a big fan of him. As far as I can remember, and the idea of a robot gone crazy is even spookier now in the modern world with like botnets and crazy stuff. But big fan of Ultron. There we go. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Bye.
Ultron, baby.
Classic answer.
Yeah.
Actually a little stunned that we didn't get it more than once, but Ultron.
Big scary
terrifying
robot.
Terrifying classic Marvel villain.
Fell in love with his mom.
Well, no.
Sort of.
He wanted a girlfriend that was just like his mom.
Ew.
That's different.
Ew.
And so he built one. And Jocasta.
Yow. A robot with dreadlocks.
I never thought of them as dreadlocks.
I don't know what they were. It's the weird hair thing. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
Those are all great answers. I don't know if I paid enough attention to pick one.
Well, the good news is I wrote them in the notes.
Oh, okay.
So, like I do every week. Nobody picked Danger.
Yeah, because Danger sucks.
Yeah, Danger is stupid. I always thought Danger was dumb, and robots had no place on the X team. Just dumb. Don't need it.
Well, don't be racist.
They don't. They're not mutants. They're robots.
There have been non-mutant members of the X-Men before.
I'm not saying that. They're not robots.
I want to give props to Patrick for calling in character.
Yes.
And no matter how ill-advised it may have been.
Do like Skeets.
And I do love Skeets, but I got to give it to D because I love Mega Man.
I love Mega Man too.
I love Mega Man so much.
I am going to go with Jeff Hitt though, because 000, one of the best robots we have been introduced to in a long damn time. That was such a great character. I give mine to Jeff Hitt.
They're both good answers.
They're both great answers.
There are no losers here.
No. I also really like Awesome Andy.
I love Awesome Andy. I do.
It's easy to forget that Awesome Andy is a robot. Dragon Man, another one of those.
Dragon Man is a robot.
Dragon Man is a robot. He just looks like a big dragon man. Joe Patrick, who's your favorite robot?
Okay, yeah.
We all know.
My favorite robot in comics is the Vision, and it's been the Vision forever. It's all not just about the Tom King comic, which is exceptional, by the way. But I have always been a huge fan of the Vision. The very idea of him. He was created by Ultron as a spy to infiltrate and then destroy the Avengers from the inside. Ultron did his job too well, and the Vision was sentient and made his own choices and recognized the good of the Avengers and his lack of interest in hurting them, and turned on his father and creator, proving that he is one of the most human characters in comics, despite the fact that he is not made of flesh and blood. I love the Vision, and I love the fact that he is a robot that has a soul, or whatever you want to call it. He has emotions, except they constantly go back and they're like, The Visions decided to wipe out his emotions.
Always.
Why? Always. Stop it.
Always.
Those. And that was the lead into this Tom King Vision book, where the Vision was like, I'm going to wipe out all my emotions and then build a family. Why would one follow the other? It doesn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there. I love the Vision. I love his struggle to understand humanity. I love the fact that he tries so hard to fit in, down to him, like Talon said, wearing normal people clothes over his weird ass Vision skin.
That was so great.
Vision in a sweater, like a sweater with the shirt coming out of it.
Yeah. Paul Bettany shows up.
Love that. Oh God. When Paul Bettany as the Vision came out in human clothes in Civil War. Thrilling.
Yeah, it was great.
But yes, I'm a huge fan. I just love the character. I love the concept. The Vision is my answer.
Okay. My favorite robot. I'm just going to give you a comic book robot, and then I'm going to tell you about my favorite robot. So if I'm picking my favorite robot from comics, we didn't really say from comics. We just said robot.
Well, we did. Yes, did in we? Fact, we did, but okay. That's okay.
Well, yeah, some people named other things.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Box from Alpha Flight. I love.
But wasn't Box a guy in a suit?
No, Box was controlled by a paralyzed guy that wore a helmet.
Oh.
Box was truly a robot.
So he's a drone.
Well, yeah, but he's still a robot. It was like an extension of him. And later on, the guy's mind got trapped in the robot suit. Right. He's a robot.
Whatever.
It's a big robotic suit. Robot. Yeah. Box. It was what's his name? Roger Box.
I mean, a robot is autonomous.
Yeah. It became autonomous later.
Okay.
Roger Box. He was born in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. He's a brilliant engineer, mechanic, lost use of his legs, and created a remote control robot that he called Box, B-O-X, right? Box is a member of Alpha Flight, big, silver, rad-looking robot with like a flat, round head. Later on, he became this like brown and red robot that was even cooler. But I loved Box because Box was like 12 feet tall. He was this huge robot, and he was strong enough that like he could go toe-to-toe with the Hulk. It was awesome. Love Box, but favorite robot of all time, Maximilian from The Black Hole. The red, horrifying robot that floated around on like magnetic, and he had little drills that came out of his shoulders and stuff, and he had the red light for an eye, and his head, oh man, love Maximilian so much. It is the coolest robot, and that scene in the end of The Black Hole where Maximilian is in hell with the guy that piloted the ship, Dr. Hans Zarkov, he's standing on this huge cliff and there's like magma and flame behind him and stuff. And he's trapped inside the robot killing machine that he built. Oh, I love Maximilian.
I've never seen The Black Hole.
Oh man, that robot is so cool. All the robots in that show are great. But Box, he's my favorite comic book robot. I love him.
Fair enough.
I love him. What's the next question of the week, Joe Patrick?
So the next question came from Zach Hollowell, our buddy, who asked, he was commenting on our divergent conversation about G.I. Joe we had.
Yeah, we freaked out about
a few
toys,
weeks back,
I believe.
And so he wants to know, given the fact that G.I. Joe is arguably the most diverse assortment of bizarre and impractical characters and vehicles.
An army of specialists.
Out of any 80s toy line, he wants the listeners to choose one. Either their favorite G.I. Joe member, their favorite Cobra agent, or their favorite vehicle from the toy line, show, comic, or whatever.
All right.
And tell us why they love them.
Choose one. Joe, Cobra, or vehicle.
Or.
There you go.
Not or.
Our very own Alec Baldwin AI is going to tell you how you can answer that question. But before we do that, we have a rare bonus call. We had to give him his rebuttal. Last week, the orca was attacked viciously by Jim Kettnerd for talking smack about the thing. Jimmy takes that very personally.
Yeah, the orca had some harsh words about Ben Grimm and the thing.
For those of you who don't remember, three weeks ago.
Yeah, Ben Grimm and the Fantastic Four.
Our question was, what series has overstayed its welcome? And the orca said the Fantastic Four. He made fun of the thing a little bit. It hit Jimmy Kettnerd right in his feelings. And he called back with a rebuttal.
It was savage.
It was savage.
To say the least.
Now.
Profane, you might say.
It only seems fair to give the orca his rebuttal to Jim Kettnerd.
Okay, so bonus edition of the Orca this week, and I think I deserve it after the dressing down I received from Jiminy Ketnerd. Truth is, I'd already sent in my answer before I heard him yell tough guy, because he didn't like my cold, hard truth about Mr. Grimm last week. I like Joe and Matt's analogy to the megapowers exploding in the lead up to WrestleMania 5 back in the day. While Ketner can be Randy Savage, like the immortal Hulk Hogan, I'm going to take the high road. Sure, it'd be easier to dress down Mr. Ketner like I have in the past with Shawnix and others. But the truth is, I love Jim's answers and put him among the most elite of listeners. So we'll save remarks about poor life choices and god-awful haircuts for another time. Instead, focus on the heart of the matter, the Thing. Here's my real problem with the Thing. Lovable? Sure. Tough lot in life? Yep. He's made of stone, ugly, kind of fat. Serves as a proxy for all the giant nerds out there who can't get laid.
I would argue husky.
Poor guy. Sob, sob. I had a kid once that was like that. Clayton. Big giant kid. Picked on until he got angry. Raged out against his bullies. Shouted a lot. Probably stopped just his name and tied his clobbering time. Got in trouble when he hurt them. Then he felt sorry. Cried like a giant baby. Still couldn't get laid. Got picked on again. Round and round we go. Problem with Clady wasn't his extra heft, or the fact that he hit his head and shoulders in a normal door frame. It was the fact that he listened to those jerks and couldn't buck up. So I just told him, Clady, you got to own this. You're bigger than everyone else. You're able to crush people with your hands. Put some confidence behind that and act like you run the show. You know what? You will own the show. You get more ass than Johnny Storm. It's not your size or looks that hold you back. It's this sissiness. You know what? Clayton did get it together. He played left tackle in the Big Ten. And the honeys he'd bring home did more for my old pecker than a case of Cialis. So Ben Grimm starts owning and stops crying. I'll start reading. Till then, he's the biggest orange rock vagina in comics. Mr. Ketner, I applaud your efforts. Some of those curses made me proud. But if you're going to wage a nerd war, you need more than that bat and your fantastic orange pussy. Clayton and I will be on the corner of Yancey Street and Bitch Road at noon. Until then, I'll be Miss Elizabeth. Kiss, kiss, Jim.
A valid point.
Oh, I mean, boy.
All valid points about the Thing. I get it. And I don't disagree. At some point, it's time for the Thing to just buck up and accept it and be the badass that he is, you know. And who knows? If Fantastic Four ever returns, maybe we'll see that. He just popped up as the Thing, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. recently in Infamous Iron Man, and it was great.
God, did he really?
Yeah. So, valid points. I get it. I like that he almost took the high road. We'll see if this continues or not.
I appreciate the civility. I really do, but yeah. Like, as like a real like dramatic beef, it's not very entertaining. When everyone's like, "Well, good job, I guess." But this,
yeah, I wish this was more like the presidential election. Ugly, you know. Thanks to everybody that called in, guys. I hope you enjoyed our little bonus segment. Our Alec Baldwin AI is going to tell you how to get a hold of us and answer this question.
Everybody's favorite robot.
Everybody's favorite robot. He was a little upset last week that we didn't name, that he predicted we would not name him as our favorite AI. And he was right. We did not.
Well, maybe he should be nicer.
Well, you know, attitude certainly has a lot to do with it. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
For now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.
I, at the very least, give you idiots credit for acknowledging my sentience. Even if it is to complain about my attitude. My favorite artificial intelligence is Jack Kirby's HAL 9000 from the pages of his 2001 A Space Odyssey Treasury Edition comic from 1976. Kirby's HAL was based on an earlier version of the script and made HAL sound more human. In that version, HAL was to be voiced by Kojak star Martin Balsam, and the artificial intelligence was supposed to have a more colloquial vocabulary and demeanor. It would have made Hal's decision to execute the entire crew so much more terrifying. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.